may be seated. After a brief interlude, let us now return to our dissertation. Take your document. Everyone repeat after me, scriptural comprehensions of measures. The matrix. We're on page 29. And I know we're moving through this document. I'm not even worried about it. We're on page 29 of part one. There are five other parts. I'm not worried. We cannot move to one page without having some intelligence of its antecedent. Let's turn, take our Bibles. Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. I want to go back where we were last time we were discoursing this dissertation. 2 Corinthians there. There are a few more nuggets that need to kind of mine out of there. I'm going to focus specifically on verse 20 of that first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Very familiar passage, and of course every time we go minister to the residents there in Novi Manor, we read from this particular passage. Here Paul opens this letter to the church at Corinth, the second letter. In it, what he is basically conveying is the God of all comfort. Everybody say the God of all comfort. You know what's comforting? To know that you're in his presence.
Thank God.
Of where we are, we're in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
That's what salvation means. You're in Christ. It's defined by your eternal relationship with and in him. The supreme and prime benefit is that you're safe. You're safe. And that's what anyone looks for in a contract. It's security. What benefits do I have? What's there to protect me? What's there to help us? That's in the physical sense, natural sense. Here we have an eternal contract that's established in the fact that all in him is complete and secure. Everything in him is complete and secure. Brother Deacon, just read that one verse in a time. I'm always fighting time, you know, until the day y'all give me about 3 hours. That's a standing joke. Read that verse in the King James.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. The 20th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Now you would have to really break that down into its confidential conveyances to really appreciate the message that's in that one expression. In fact, I could literally stand here, not go anywhere else this morning, and preach this textual natural. Not even go outside the confines here and yet not be able to exhaust what is conveyed here. Because see, we look at words here, promises, and we think of a promise, we think of it in terms of when we promise something. Yet we have the genitive here. The promises that belong to God. And it's more definitively realized in the fact, as in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 9 speaks to attributes of God as the adjective unlined is used, unable to deviate. From what's conveyed. That the exactness of what is said is congruent, that is, it aligns perfectly with what is done. Not saying it to be done, but saying it because it is done. And that's what that word amen really means. And so it is. As we look at this passage, here Paul writes to the Corinthians and he's speaking about comfort in the sense of the message of comfort. Which goes beyond the circumstances that are around us. Beyond the situations that confront us and stir us and many times discourage us. We're talking about what goes beyond the process of the thing into the purpose of the thing. Yes. So he speaks of the God of all comfort and he says, now, I have not been there with you, so I'm writing you to comfort you, but I'm going to use the message of the comfort by which I was comforted. And he speaks of many things that he had gone through. Those that he had sent there in the essence of the message itself and all of the witnesses around him in relationship to all the things that are part of the essence of God's presence. You've got to know that you are safe and secure. Now we sing the song safe and secure from all along. We're just singing. Then the least little thing that crop up, it just knocks us completely off course. God help us to, that's me too, amen. I'm not just help us to abide in him. And in the strength of the knowledge, knowing that he who begun the good works will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everything works for you, not against you. And so now, in everything you're able to give thanks, it didn't say in some things, in everything. In each and everything. Give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Remember now, will of God in Christ. What do you mean by amen, hallelujah? In the essence of your eternal being.
Yes, yes.
And the conclusion of everything that you think is there to wipe you out.
Yes.
It's complete and it fell because of God's promise. Everything. Give thanks. Because everything that is course for you is the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, everybody say, in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
So what if along the way you get bogged down in some tests?
Mm-hmm.
It's an incident for purpose that has no ability to affect the fact that you are in Christ Jesus. Now that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. In Christ Jesus. The problem is we don't know who we are because we don't know where we are. So where am I? Well, I'm in the flesh and Sunday morning and I'm in Grace Gospel Church and I'm sitting here, I'm listening to this minister and half the stuff he's saying I don't understand, so I'd be glad when he gets through. So, no, you're not in the flesh. You're not even locked in time in this hour. You're in Christ Jesus in eternity. Never have left there. Now they're going to call us crazy. Only thing that matters is what does the scripture rightly divided teach? And so we don't know what a thing really is. We must come to understand what is and what isn't. Let's go to a document. Page 29. Remember, we were in that second paragraph. We'll be in of last week. I want to go back to the middle of that paragraph where it says scripture comprehensions. Everybody says scripture comprehensions.
Scriptural comprehensions.
Simply understanding what's written in our contract.
Right, right.
Most of us can't appreciate because we can't resonate. Mostly what reverberates in our mind are the things that each day that are instances interfacing with problems in the situation. I'm not saying these things aren't to be considered. Somebody always goes the other way. Here's what we've got to understand. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in time, but we're not up time. These frames that are set for testimonial sake are simply reflections of what is. What else is in the decree? Scripture comprehensions deny that substances amount to everything. You follow me? I'm in the middle of that second paragraph. For those that are watching, listening by way of our webcast, if you go into the audio video sector there and there's an icon, you click and this entire document comes up on page 29. Scripture comprehensions deny that substances amount to everything existing in another. It said that's not true. Which in turn disallows that nothing exists other than in physicality, secularity measures. Basically, it's telling you that what you see is not it.
Not. That's it. Not.
What you encounter is nothing of itself. What you are dealing with is purpose, and it's only a reflection of that purpose. And so the scriptures are telling us that's not where we look. We don't look into life, or what we call life, which is the matrix, to define what something is. For we're always asking what? Not what is this, but what? What is this for? Purpose. Assumptions that things in fact exist in substances declare that when such alliances nest in either an infinite or circular approach, both these options are definitively implausible, as the former is in perpetuity inconceivable, while the latter is infinitely visibly deprived of assurance formations. And what are we saying now? Amen. Whether that thing is stretched out or whether it's reoccurring, it doesn't matter. It's nothing within itself. And don't look for that thing. So, well, it's happening to me over and over again. Because there's a purpose for over and over again.
Come on here. Hallelujah.
I need a break. You don't know what you need.
Praise
God knows what you need. Now here's where we move today in that third paragraph on page 29. Concentrations of such components, suppositions, and perceptions, they're deemed beings by some philosophers. We think that that's what that thing is. And of course, last week, as we said, all of them, according to last time I was before you, common consensus of independent minds. No, of course, philosophers assume that intelligences occupy different categories of being the material objects. And again, all we're saying is that you're looking out there and you think that thing has a mind of its own and has purpose of its own, and it's has an agenda of its own. And it's up to me to change the course. Contemplated views of dualistic functionalisms rationalized, modulus as individual masses concomitantly conceptualized, a mentality reduced to organically impressive materialisms. And so we're out there and we're trying to change, listen to me, we're trying to change things. We're going to do this. Don't you ever say what you're going to do. Unless you say, if it's the Lord's will. Because by itself, your statement has no punch. Has no power. Has no meaning. Nothing operates independently and forcefully and conclusively in materialism. This is what we're saying. So as we said last week, the last time was before you, the Greek word noon, man, is not necessarily a name of a thing distinctive within its entire individuality. So you know, nothing exists within itself. Nothing is about itself. You know, when we go back to the what's that passage there in the Colossians, and it speaks of all things were created where?
In
Him. So if everything is in Him, it's got to come. It's got to be sourced from Him. And that's the hardest thing for us to understand. And sometimes things get us so bogged down, we forget all about God.
Yes,
we just completely remove Him out of the picture.
Yes, yes, we do. Yes.
Here's this thing that I got to take care of. Follow this. In this view, relations and material possessions are of similarity. And here is where we didn't get a chance to really jump on last week. Supereminence and supervene structures. But not in the sense that we're looking at it as they're God-controlled, a God-sourced, a God-purposed. We look at that thing as a... that's like the scientists who come out with this huge, bosom God particle. It must come from somewhere. This can't come from God because it's not something that I like. I want to be dealing with. God wouldn't do this. He loves me too much. Well, he loves you more than you can ever imagine. But many times we think that something is against us is for us. And the opposite, sometimes we look at something and say, well, this is really good for me, and it's the worst thing that ever happened to you. And the worst day of your life can turn out to be the best day. Philosophies of physicality, secularity, measures, awareness categories. Everybody say awareness categories. So basically, when we are able through the scriptures, place things in their proper functionality according to what God has purpose of them. Which may even run counter and foreign to what I want,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
I believe,
yeah.
And I'm counting on.
Come on, God. Preach it. Preach it. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know that scripture we read when we were reading the pastor's pen this morning? To me, to live, what? One word. Christ.
Christ.
In fact, everybody repeat that. To me,
to
live,
Christ.
Oh, God, help us to understand this. Our lives are not about ourselves. Awareness categories aver that liberations are beings, mechanism, energize, assimilation, divisions. Coordination within these distributional proponents false are passed off as genuine, the consciousnesses of extensions in their illusionary phrase oblivions. And so that thing looked, you have construed in your mind that that's it, and that's the operation of it, and that's the finality of it, and that this is why we you know, what that scripture that basically said that, what's that in Philippians? He shall keep us in perfect peace with what?
Mind.
Is focused on him.
Yes.
Stop looking at the thing and God. Look at God.
Amen. Yes. Glory.
It's not about the thing. It's what has God done with the thing?
Glory to God.
And have confidence that whatever he is doing, it is for your benefit, not your destruction. So we move to the bottom of page there. In these categories of ones of orb, that is, are earthly centricities and all other spheres that might be misconstrued in the matrix or in the measures, divisions in addition to each of their components deemed to be beings. Such are erroneously deduced to relate, follow this, in various senses of individualized beings. You know what? We cut God completely off from the operations in our lives.
Thank you.
know, the ministers went in to Virginia Tech after the deranged person killed about 30 people and killed himself. And those students had questions. I mean, it was a grand gesture, and to be commended that they went there to minister to them. They were not prepared for the question. Why here? Why us? Where was God? And he was shooting up the place and killing people. Of course, the answer was, I don't blame God. He had nothing to do with this. That's the most eerie feeling, to have someone thinking that things happen that God has nothing to do with. That's like saying the devil pops up and he morphed into the opposer, but he was never created as the opposer. That's scary. Because that means that then anything could jump out of anywhere and do anything. That's not a secure, serene way to live your lives, huh? That something could just pop up and happen out here. Happen to me. I'm on my own, hanging out here in the universe. On a little tiny dot, speckle in the universe called the Earth. And I'm out here on my own. As far as things happen out there. Now, once I get in trouble, then God can come in and he can help out. But he had nothing to do with the origin of what came up. That's why God's people are basket cases.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes. We're basket cases.
Yes.
We have no confidence. No peace. Actually, when you look at many of us, you really can't tell the difference between the ones that don't know him and us. Because we react the same way they react. We have the same fears and the same countenance. No. This knowledge has come to let us know that everything is coursed and prearranged for our benefit. Not for our detriment, for our benefit. If you are abiding in Christ, follow this. These, are you with me? These collections are usually perceived as abstract objects, like calibrates. What are calibrates? Science. Amen. Have different, distinct standards of measurements. This is the exactness of what it is, and this is how it operates, and this is how we assess it. So these collections are usually perceived as abstract objects, like calibrates, often regarded as equivalents, or nearly equivalents, in connoting synchronizing. Basically, you that thing and the way that thing is laid out, if A happens, B occurs. No, you don't. If you're in a boat and you step out on the water, what's going to happen? Calibration-wise, you're going to sink. Right? Why did Peter walk on water? The Lord said, Lord, permit me to come. He said, come on. And he started walking. Calibration just went out the window. Calibration says you must go from point A to point B and travel along this course. They're out in the river, in the ocean or river or the waters. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. Mm-hmm. Now, to get from point A in the water to the shore, point B, you must travel that. The scriptures, they skip those frames.
Yeah.
Just threw the calibration out of the window.
Oh, glory. Come on, Pastor.
Remember they drunk on the apostle Jesus?
Uh-huh.
And immediately, he wasn't there anymore. Philip in the chariot with the Ethiopian. As soon as he gets through ministering,
mm-hmm.
Now the calibration says he either get off and catch a ride with someone else. Skip those frames. Y'all looking at me strange. You can't connote synchronizing of things based upon calibers. You're in a situation and you think,
mm-hmm.
according to the calibers, these are the steps I got to go through,
mm-hmm.
to move past it.
Mm-hmm.
And God completely,
completely.
Eliminates the whole thing. You've had that experience, haven't you?
Amen.
You said, it happened. I don't know how it happened.
Glory to God.
And if you don't know how it happened, at least you know why it happened. It happened because it was the creed. It moves by the creed. It moves by purpose, not process.
Yeah.
God help us. Man, you're talking crazy. You know, there's the laws of nature and so forth. And some of the, that has no, that doesn't drive, the laws of nature don't drive the thing. It is the principle of purpose, not the law of nature. Control wise, I'm trying to move that clock today. Scripture denies. Everybody says scripture denies. Now that's when the scripture is denying something that we take as fact.
Right.
We take as truth and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the essence of what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be governed by what you see.
Amen.
Why not? I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's scripture denial there.
Mm-hmm.
That what you see is not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture said we are not looking
right.
at
right.
what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not prioritizing. We're not focusing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not assessing it
mm-hmm.
as the essence of what it is. Because it's what? It's temporary. Everything that is visible. I was telling the youth this morning, and I could see smiles on their face, basically, what part of you in the measure of you in measures are the matrix, but part is you, or what parts are you? And you're born, you're about this long, maybe, you know, some of us a little longer. I don't have a baby picture when I was firstborn, but starting from the top up. No pictures. Picture in my bedroom, me when I was 6 years old. Then there are pictures of me when I was a teenager. There are pictures of me when I first came to Detroit. Mm-hmm. None of them look like what you're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So which one of them defined me? So we're collectively, all of them do that. What's the answer to that? None of them. I threw a year out this morning to the teens. I said, 2070. That's 50 years from now. I guarantee you will not be able to look upon what you're looking at now and see it. You will not. No one will be able to look at this image of what you see now in the year 2070, or 50 years from now. What will you see? Nothing. Do you know what? Just using the common bad English vernacular, this ain't me. What I'm looking at is not you. Then what am I and what are you? You are that one that was placed in Christ before you were encapsulated in these bodies in its minute varied forms. And that's the difference between what is and what isn't.
Amen.
So what you see is temporary. It's temporal. What does temporary mean? Not long. It's, well, hey, I'm pushing 79 past that 69. I'm pushing 70. That's not long. 7 times 12 was 84. What is that? 840 months. If you live to be 100, you have lived 1,200 months. You have lived 36,500 and some days. I said, well, that's a long time. Compared to what? The lady, I guess, was on the news this week, that she was 110 or something like that. Somebody said, ooh, yeah, you are comparing it with me. Because I'm sure I won't get anywhere near that. But what is that compared to always? Not even a whisper. It's like taking a teaspoon of water and dropping it into the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. So that's why I priority and focus is not on here and now. And I know there are many that don't want to hear it.
All right.
The key word is priority.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
We didn't say we don't pay attention to what's going on.
No.
But the priority.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The focus. Is on who you were, because who you are is traced back to who you were. Who were you? When? In eternity. Then how did I get here? How did I move from there that you haven't moved? Don't confuse testimony and manifestation. Mm-hmm. With the essence of actualization, who you are. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. You have never left Christ. before creation, before the foundation of the world, that's where you are, and that's where you are. That's where you are right now. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Now that doesn't mean too much to many.
Thank you.
To too many of God's people. It doesn't mean that much. Because what resonates is what emotionally affects me at the moment. Later with that other stuff. Remember Esau? Talking about a birthright. He said, man, give me some food.
That's right.
Say, sign this birthright. He said, well, give me some food. I'll sign anything.
Give me.
That's us. Take care of the present situation. Say, heaven can wait. But this situation can't. Scripture denies that these divisions, I'm reading again, and deposits exist in contemporary a modernized, or the way it is looked at today, insinuations exudes the essence of their determinative insignificance. Now, what are we saying here? The fact that these things are focused within in themselves shows how insignificant they are of themselves. A life without Christ is insignificant. Your job, my job, without Christ is insignificant. My home, but my career, without Christ is about nothing.
That is true.
This is why these ministries focus, call themselves resonating with people about the things that are important to them. Well, we've got to learn what's important.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. Yes.
Don't play upon what one thinks is important. But let's teach.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God gives illumination
mm-hmm.
to what is important. And so that takes teaching and of course, most of the ministers today, men of the ministers, I should say, they take what they think to be the least path of resistance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and find out what you want and what you're thinking
mm-hmm.
and somehow, you know, move on the basis of what appeals.
What appeals?
I'm here on all the praise. What appeals to me? So that means that you got to use the depraved things to appeal to the depraved people.
That's right.
And what have you done with the scripture? Give me about 7 minutes and I'm going to just wrap this up. Reliable possessions. Everybody say reliable possessions. What are they? They're things that you can depend. They're there. It's there. And of course, it can't be your money. It cannot. A few years ago, that Wall Street thing went down, and the people, you know, and I don't say this lightly, but you know, that was one couple you saw. They lost. They thought they were set. In fact, but they had set and calibrated that through. That if they both lived to be 95, but just one of them, years old, they had enough retirement in them to secure them and cover them. And not only did Wall Street wipe out those stocks and their bonds, But it hit what they told us was very secure. It also hit the 401k and clobbered it. And of course, we have compassion. But the thing is, what we look at as being reliable, there's no reliability in anything that is outside of Christ. Let me take this a little further. There is no reliability in physicality. And back to the scripture, there is no reliability in the things that you can see. Things that are visible. Reliable possessions extricate exactness of, or more pointedly, all allocated uninterruptedly tenured, and indeed exude in attributes what are emphatically eminences, descriptions, actualized objective. What are eminent? You say eminent, what does it mean? I mean something that must be. It's necessary for existence. This is why when I see religious leaders having themselves referred to as his eminence, I'm going like, what? That means without that thing, existence can't be. Now you're talking about God. And so basically, here we're coming back to this verse here, verse 20. Elder, you still got that? Let's go to the Greek on this. Now, give me about, I know I said something. Give me another 3-4 minutes.
2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 20.
Yeah, in the Greek. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For as many promises of God.
Right. I'm glad you didn't, but he got that bracketed in there. No. That word there, if I hear Leah, that is translated promise. It could be word, it could be decree, it could be the essence of a thing, because this is what God is saying. It's more than a promise, it's a fact, it's what's actualized. So what's actualized of God, what?
Promises of God in Him.
In Him. In Him. In Him. Read.
The yes.
Yeah, everybody say yes. Net. Paul said another place, back in this earlier here, said they were upset with him one time when he didn't do something he had promised to do. He said, don't put my word, or my decree, or my promise on the same level as God. He said, is my yea always yea, and my nay always nay? You know why? We be hard on other people when they don't do it. But we want to pass with it, when we fail to do something that we should. And Paul said, no, my yea might be nay, and my nay might be yea. He said, only God's nay and yea, a nay and yea. In other words, God's yes is yes, God's no is no. No questions asked. And here, he's repeating this, but in the general sense of saying that all that is in existence, yes, in Him. All things were created what? In Him, what?
Through Him.
Through him what? For him. Let's do that again. In him, through him, for him. This is what this is basically saying. Finish that up.
Wherefore, also through him, the amen.
See how he's repeating that same. You got to understand that concept. Through him what?
Through him, the amen to God.
Hey, stop. We see that word and we use that word. And we don't even know what that word is. So it's a prayer word. It simply means indeed it is. It is.
It is.
It is. Amen. It is. In actualized essence, it is. You see how the dependence is upon him? That everything is in him. And we are not to put any credence in anything that may be construed out of him, outside of him, as we see it. I independently of him, as we see it. Some things happen, we go, woo, and we think God goes, oh.
No.
That thing was placed there. For purpose. Everybody said for purpose. Finish it up.
Wherefore, also through him, the amen to God, unto glory through us.
For our glorifying him. This whole thing of testimony is testimony to God's glory. To his glory. About him. This is why no matter who stands up here, what's the subject every Sunday?
Jesus.
Or even during the week. And then when you get through talking about Jesus, sit down before the privity takes over. There's really nothing else to talk about. I don't care what election is about to come up or what. Who's happening? The nukes that North Korea threatening to shoot and so forth and so on. That us, we got to get out and we got to boycott this and that. And this is the kind of stuff that we're hearing in the ministries this morning and from the pulpits. And no, that's not what it's about. Let's do that again. In him,
in him.
Through him,
through him.
For him. That's what all life is. This is what this is telling us about.
Glory.
You want to know what's happened? There it is right here. Back to our document. I'm going to finish this up. This one paragraph. These comprehends. Are you with me? These comprehends solidly codify or regulate spiritual eternal entities. Everybody says spiritual. Eternal entities. And see, there are as unadulterated definitions because, like attributes, such are congruent certifiers of possessors. Congruent, in trigonometry, congruent triangles, you have you put one on top of the other, you got the same thing. That's what it means is congruent. Okay? Exactly the same. And so, possessions are tied to spiritual eternal things. If it's not spiritual, if it's not eternal, if it's not spiritual, it's not eternal. If it's not eternal, it's not reliable. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Last sentence. The authentic gauge of resolution excels beyond materiality mediums, such as scales and shades, substantive compositions, and other matrix misconceptions of purposeful objective influences. And we close here today. Amen. Oh my God. What you see is not what you get. What you see is not even close. Because what is seen, I should say manifestations basically, are reflectors in the mirror from the light. And of course, depending upon what angle you're looking at, will qualify what you observe. Three people may look at the same thing and see three different things. But the essence of it is that we'll always depend upon the Word of God. Now, why have we spent an hour into this realm? Why not take you across the Red Sea with Israel this morning? And then talk about the great time and service they had when they got on the other side and they shouted. You know why? Because 3 days later they got hungry and forgot all about that. Why not take you around the walls of Jericho? 7 days and they shouted and the walls fell down. You know why? Because when Babylon came and took them, their walls were torn down. And the temple was ravaged.
Yes, it was.
Why not take you into the furnace with the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and talk about how the fire didn't burn them? Why not take you into the lion's den with Daniel and talk about the lion's mouth being stopped up? And I'm sure if we read back, maybe we could get something going this morning. We'll keep you running down the aisles. You know why? Because the history records that in the arena, he didn't stop the lion's mouth. And see, we selected to take things that we pray for that are in alignment with God. And we focus and say, this is the calibration of how it is. We don't talk about this time when we pray for things that are not in alignment with the will of God, and the thing goes the opposite way. No, let's walk in reality. Life is not about you. It's about Him. It's about who He is. It's about the essence. That the course of your life is tied to who you are in Him. His design, His plan, His agenda. Do you know that you are living on God's dime? Living on. On Mars Hill, Paul told those Athenians, he said, in Him we move. We live, we move, what?
We are.
In Him.
In Him.
In Him. In Him. Now going forth and then next month into the May conference, we're going to deal with the essence of what is and what isn't. I give you a little preview right now. What is in Him. What isn't is what is construed to be remote from Him.
Right.
Who you are is defined by where you are. We are in Christ. So now when we sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That I dare not trust the Swedish train, but holy can you say holy? Completely can you say completely? Lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. Can you say Christ? On Christ. Not only on Christ, in Christ. The sun is righteous. Can you go? Can you go? The ground is sinking sand. In other words, everything else is not about anything. God bless you.
Glory. Thank God. Amen. Thank God.
Come on, get along.